Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Justin Ray, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day. This is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show. I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Hello, everyone around the world. Once again, this is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. We have a great show for you today. This March 26, 2021, and we have Mr. Dan Quinn on by very high popular demand. We're going to spend as much time as we need to answering listener questions, email questions that have been emailed into our email address at carsonscorner@gmail.com for Mr. Dan Quinn on a whole host of topics. If you want to call in, you can at 516-418-5570. That's 516-418-5570. You can ask a question to Dan yourself. So without further ado, let's get it going here. Dan, welcome all the way from California. How are you doing, man?
Bob, thanks for having me. I'm doing fantastic.
Well, that's great to hear, man. I'm glad you're doing well. And as you heard, we have a whole bunch of listener emails for you here. Folks really, really sent in a lot. So we're going to go without further ado. Here's the first one. Dear Dan and Bob, Dan, what's your YouTube channel? You mentioned forcing the mentally ill patients in the nut house to snort Stevie and posting it on YouTube. Where can we see this? That's Jack Burton of Chicago.
I took it down, actually. It was illegal to put people on that are in the institution. That's why they take it down. Otherwise, they would have taken my phone away. But it's capital D-A. My YouTube channel is capital D-A-N-I-E-L and then capital Q, small U-I-N-N, Daniel Quinn.
Okay, great. Good. So you do have a new one up. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, great. Here's another one, and this is from Gideon Canthro. Here's another interesting email, Dan. As a member of the LGBT community, I was very interested to hear Dan's thoughts on the gender identity issue. However, as a pansexual man, I found myself becoming curious about an all-male equivalent. Is there a gay version of the violin? Would that simply be inserting a finger into the anus, as I already did? Would a gay version be called the violin, or would it should be named after a different instrument, perhaps a bassoon? Master Dan, your thoughts are appreciated. bunch of questions in there.
That's like a hot. That's like a hot potato. I wouldn't even touch that one. I wouldn't call it the violin. I don't know if it works. I don't know if it doesn't. I know if the female version works. So good, I'm making a video when I get out. But as for a male version, I have no say-so on the matter.
Yeah, I can't even wrap my head around that question. So I applaud you for at least attempting to answer it. Next one comes from Joe Garcia. This comes from San Antonio, Texas. Dan, there is some guy on SureDog claiming to be Aaron Brink, and he's saying that you welched on a bet with him. He says that you made a bet with him before your fight that the loser would perform oral sex on the winner. First of all, I'm not even sure Brink's on SureDog, but as I told him, if you had made a bet and you lost, you'd not welch on the bet no matter what the wager was. I told him that I don't believe you would make such a bet. That comes from, as I said, Joe Garcia.
Yeah, first off, Aaron would never make a bet like that. He's straight. I'm straight. Yeah. Wouldn't make a bet like that. I could see making a bet where the winner gets to use the other's girlfriend. We didn't do something like that. That would be in the ballpark. But giving oral sex to another man, the only way that would ever happen is if they had my kids hostage, and that was the only way I could get them free. Otherwise, they'd have to kill me.
Yeah, I know Aaron. Aaron is a stand-up guy, and I definitely think that we're dealing with an imposter here on SureDog. So what a surprise, Dan.
Yeah.
All right, here's another guy. Another question. Hey, Bob, what's up? I'm just a normal Korean guy who listens to your show. While I was listening to your latest show with Dan, I was thinking about sometimes I heard him talk about Steve and how great it was. Then I thought about Justin Ray Harvey, who has been on your show and is disabled because of cerebral palsy. So I was just wondering, Dan Quinn, do you think Stevia could cure Bob's friend Justin Ray Harvey, who's been crippled, I guess? Could Stevia do that? That's like something that would be really cool for him. And anyway, I hope the answer is yes, and hope Justin can go back to normal soon.
I wouldn't imagine Stevia by itself would cure. I don't think anything could cure cerebral palsy. That's a genetic defect.
Yeah.
You know, I think pure H2O would purify his body, and if anything could cure him, that would be it. But I don't think there's anything that would cure cerebral palsy.
Yeah, that's a good point there. Let's move on. This comes from Monty Dukes from Des Moines, Iowa. Hey, Dan, dude, I can't get past the mental image of Pat Ballage in the Notre Dame locker room. You said you wanted to see him bang your girlfriend. I can imagine why. I totally get wanting to see him in action. I think I understand perfectly, and I know you would love it so much that you'd probably jump in. You're the man, Dan. Keep on pushing the Stevia agenda, and don't stop for President Biden. Make sure the Stevia is off. What do you say to that, Dan?
Congratulations for somebody seeing him. I was, you know, just the thought of somebody that huge, that much bigger than me, being inside my girlfriend was a huge turn-on. It still is. And I didn't hear the last part about Biden. What was that?
Oh, that Biden makes you
right.
Stevia.
Turn that off, please. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, the last part was about President Biden making you the Stevia czar.
Wouldn't be a bad idea. I'm eventually going to be the richest man on the planet. All I have to do is get a terminally ill cancer victim out there during Fury Show back into perfect health. It's going to happen sooner or later. You know, I'm putting all these videos out to people, hopefully that somebody will listen, you know, present me with a cancer victim. Fury Show cures them. We start bottling Fury Show up and selling it, and it fulfills my vision of me becoming the richest man on the planet.
All right, this is I don't know if this is from the last guy, Monty Dukes, but this is kind of a unlabeled question here. Dan, we also had a large amount of feedback. This is what I'm supposed to read here. Dan, we also had a large amount of feedback to questions about the legendary stud Pat Ballage, a true super heavyweight. Would you be willing to get involved in a three-way dance with Pat? Many people would be intimidated, but I know you wouldn't back down from anybody. Would you use your speed to offset his power?
Who, Pat Ballard?
Yeah. I don't know if that, that's the asking for. Yeah. Yeah.
Are they talking about a three-way in a bedroom or in a fight?
I think a fight.
Pat
Ballard's
ass. No, I told him. I told Pat Ballard when we were at Notre Dame. At Pat Ballard, we had the same weight room as when I first went to Notre Dame under Jerry Faust. The football players were working out in the same weight room that all the other athletics were working out in. And Pat Ballard shit on my girlfriend. And I told Pat, you know, that's cool, but if it happens again, I'm going to kick your ass. He was a senior. I was a freshman. But I had won the bingo bouts for that time, so I knew who I was. And, you know, there'd be no question. It was a foregone conclusion then, and I actually learned how to fight since then.
All right, we have another one, and this is a weird question. I don't know what this is all about, but this is kind of addressed to you and me, Dan. Bob Carson and Dan Quinn, you find yourselves in the domain of the selector, wherein you will be forced to choose from a rigid binary which cannot be broken nor ignored. Now choose between one of the following two mind/body states: physically fit but lethargic and miserable, or morbidly obese but enthusiastic and vivacious. Bob Carson, you have made the right choice. Daniel Tiberius Quinn, have you made the right choice? Choices will be made in the domain of the Cretan selector.
Yeah, that guy sounds like he's on some good dope. But
hell yeah,
man. I would choose, if I had to be brain dead or morbidly obese, I'd be morbidly obese and I'd take stevia and lean down and be a happy fellow. But since I can do both at the same time, lean down like I am and be happy, I choose that.
Yeah, very good, very good, very good. Good question, because, you know, you can always lose the weight on stevia and whatnot. So it's kind of a binary either or choice, which, you know, doesn't really make sense. But here's one from Larry the Bird Capshaw in Dover, Delaware. Dan, I was recently watching an old YouTube video you made where you were calling out Barry Bonds. Why did you call him out? I believe you stated that you could beat him in fighting and football while he would beat you in baseball. I tend to agree with that analysis, but you've got to remember that he had the best nutritional help that money could buy, if you catch my drift. So which is more powerful for the human body, stevia or steroids? Can you offset and overcome a person's steroid advantage with massive intake of stevia? Has this been studied? So he's got three or four questions in there.
You know, that's a multifaceted one there. Steroids definitely have benefits to athletics, obviously. Otherwise, people wouldn't take them. I think that stevia combined with steroids would be something fantastic, as you would shred up, as you bulk up, and the stevia would eventually wash away all the toxic chemicals. I mean, I think a lot of people that took steroids are having cancer problems these days. Have you heard about that, Bob?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think stevia combined with steroids would be off the hook spectacular.
And his first question, why did you call out Barry Bonds?
You know, I didn't like Barry Bonds at first, but I've seen Barry passing out food at food donation centers. I'm not sure if he's doing it because he's a good person or because he got denied for the Baseball Hall of Fame, which I think is a travesty. If they can't have Pete Rose and Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame, there shouldn't be any Hall of Fame, in my opinion. But I think I disliked him because he played for the Giants. I'm a Dodgers fan, and it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing, you know. I think Barry's coming off as a pretty good guy.
Yeah. Do you think stevia could be considered a performance enhancer?
Definitely. Stevia and marijuana together, definitely. Marijuana by itself, definitely. But stevia, with its stimulant properties, would help you, it helped me in the bottom of the pool fight. I know that for a fact. If it wasn't for stevia and marijuana together, I would have been knocked out.
Well, here's a question for me, Dan, and since you just brought up marijuana. In New Jersey, the state legislature wrote a bill to basically, from my understanding, legalize marijuana And the governor made sure that there was a parental notification provision in the bill. So in other words, if somebody's 15 or 16 was caught with marijuana, the police would have to notify their parents. Do you agree with the parental notification of marijuana possession?
You know, that's a hard one. I think that, you know, they're almost old enough to go to war and die. I think that 15 and 16 might be too young. You know, that's a tricky question right there. I think 18, definitely not. 15, 16, if I was a parent, I want to know if my kid was smoking dope. I shouldn't call it dope.
Yeah.
It's not dope. Methamphetamine is dope. That was my bad.
Do you think, though, that marijuana, some make the argument that marijuana is a gateway drug. Do you believe that?
Not at all. I think that marijuana is perfect in and of itself. I don't think it leads to other things. Just like saying drinking alcohol is a gateway drug. Or do they say alcohol is a gateway drug? Do they say that about alcohol?
Not as much as marijuana, but this alcohol leads to death and destruction, you know, motorized vehicle crashes and all that stuff.
There you go. You know, from what I've seen, marijuana makes me a better driver. It makes me more aware. It doesn't have the negative effects that alcohol does. Marijuana makes everybody better. If everybody in the United States was on marijuana, the incidence of the shootings that are going on would drop drastically because people would be in a good mood.
Dan, you want to hear something very disturbing about alcohol? I just found out I have a cousin who's 1 year younger than me. He's 39, and he's in need of a liver transplant, and he's in a coma right now, and he's going to die at 39 years old from alcohol. He won't get a liver transplant because he's an alcoholic, and he's basically almost dead now. Isn't that unbelievable?
So that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
That's the poison. You know, alcohol is sugar, fermented sugar. Sugar, you know, Joe Biden's talking about outlawing assault weapons, which I think should be outlawed. You don't need to go hunting with the M16 or AR-15. But sugar kills more people every year than bullets do. You know, while we're on the topic of bullets killing, we should also be on the topic of sugar killing through diabetes and cancer and through alcohol. It is a poison that ruins everything that it touches, just like methamphetamine.
Yeah. You bring up a really good point, Dan, about, you know, it's killing people. Maybe it's not killing people in the same way that guns are killing people, but nonetheless, it's more people die from, you know, sugar-related diseases than gun violence, I would venture to say, in a year. So that's a very, very interesting point there, Dan.
Yeah, it's not even close. The preponderance of evidence.
Yeah, and you know, every time this happens, and like, let's be honest, since Trump took, and I'm not blaming this on Trump, but since Trump took office in 2016, we've had literally hundreds of mass shootings, okay? And it's not, you know, this goes back to, you know, the 1980s in California, the San Ysidro massacre in McDonald's, you know, 24 people killed. They have video of that. I just saw a video of that recently on YouTube, the bodies, the aftermath. So, you know, but you know, the Democrats are, it's gun control, it's executive order on the Second Amendment, it's this and that. It's not that complicated, is it? Like, I mean, it's not that simple, is it? Like, what do you propose to try to limit the amount of gun violence, which is an American phenomenon, because you don't have this in other countries. You don't have 300-400 mass shootings, you know, every couple of years in other countries.
Do they have these video games that are war and destruction, like Call of Duty in other countries? I mean, they probably do, but not nearly as much as the United States. I'll tell you what, when I was a senior in high school, I told Craig Tuescher, he's a deacon in the Mormon church now, I told him about a mice experiment. I might have mentioned this in a previous interview. When I was 8 years old, I saw mice in equilibrium, how they're acting nice, noses, touching noses, just acting like a regular animal. And then I saw a population explosion like we're having in the United States. too many people, the mice went fucking crazy, Bob. They turned into humans.
Mm.
There was men versus women, men turning mm-hmm. gay, you know, men eating babies. You know, it was absolute humanity at its finest. And for anybody that's an attorney out there, I'm looking for one to sue Craig Tuescher, who's a millionaire now, in civil court, because I told Craig that if he took my idea to Princeton and they used it and he became a millionaire, that he owed me $5 million. And we shook hands on that. And Craig went to Princeton. And do you think it's a coincidence, Bob, that Princeton spent millions of dollars studying the same thing I told Craig during the time period that Craig was at Princeton? And we're talking about a
wow.
kid that had a perfect 1600 SAT, and his roommate was David Rockefeller from the Rockefeller family.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's,
wow.
That's so, yeah.
Any attorneys out there that want to make a dollar, do you think a handshake as an 18-year-old senior would stand up in court now in civil court? What do you think?
I don't know. I have no idea. But you know what? I know that Princeton is a weird town. I went to school in Ryder, which is right by Princeton, and a lot of stuff happened in Princeton that was top government secret. You know, the Manhattan Project, a lot of the top secret developments and all that stuff. So, you know, I don't doubt anything that originated from Princeton. You know,
a lot of high tech. A lot of high-tech, highfalutin
yeah.
stuff going on in Princeton. And they spent millions of dollars studying the same dynamics that I told Craig about and came up with the same conclusions that I did as an 8-year-old.
All right, we're going to move on here. We got one from Stanfield Marspar, Delray Beach, Florida. Bob, please ask Dan if he's aware of the soft drink beverage Coke Life. This was a product released when Dan was locked up as a political prisoner a few years ago, and it was a version of Coke using Stevia as a sweetener. As soon as I saw it, I knew they ripped it off Dan. It was obvious where they got the idea from. Dan needs to sue Coke and whatever other company stole his research. Before Dan, almost nobody had even heard of Stevia. It looks like they took it off the market at exactly the same time he was released from prison. Coincidence? Dan, have you heard about this, the Coke Life, the product and the allegations made by this listener?
I haven't heard of Coke Life. I knew that Coke did come out with a stevia beverage. And the thing is, they can use my idea for free. You know, stevia by itself isn't, you can't put a trademark or can't put a patent mm-hmm. on it. But if Coke wanted to start using my toxic-free pure H2O, they'd have to pay me money. You know, it's a good thing that Coke started spreading stevia around so more people became more aware of it, more people started getting used to the taste. That'll soften up the market for when pure H2O hits it.
Well, it's interesting that you mention that, because that's along the same lines of our next email, Dan. Dan, this comes from Krub Whifflefield, who's an attorney apparently. Dan, I would advise you to consider applying for a patent on your stevia refinement process called Fusion. I understand that you want to share this discovery with the world, but without an active patent in place, your discoveries could be hijacked or perverted by others. A provisional patent can be applied for easily and with a relative low fee of $199, especially when you consider that a scientific discovery of this purported magnitude could be worth trillions of dollars.
You said $199?
Yeah, it's according to him, yeah.
Okay, because I called the patent attorney, and they told me that it would be $5,000. Not for the provisional patent. He didn't tell me how much that was, but for the whole process, it would be $5,000. So that's what I asked my Aunt Doris for, Doris Riva. And I wrote her a letter, and I actually videotaped. I read the letter on videotape, because if she doesn't get back to me, I'm going to read it, you know, or I'm going to post that on my YouTube channel. But I say basically that if it wasn't for me saying no to Mark Brannon in 1991, Mark Brannon, who was Mel Gibson's character in Tequila Sunrise, I told him about my uncle handcuffing me to a tree when I was 8 years old at a family party. And you know what Mark said to me, Bob? He said, "Do you want me to do them?" And I was like, whoa. It kind of shocked me. But we're talking about somebody who was thoroughly connected to the criminal underworld and could have had my uncle done. And I said no. And so from 1991 on through until my uncle died, he had all those years to make money, and all I'm asking for is a loan of $5,000, and I still haven't heard back from him.
That's pretty pretty interesting. That's you know, and I don't think you could. Yeah, apparently, from what this attorney's saying, you could just submit a description of the process and pay the fee, and then you would legally own it. So I wish this guy would provide some sort of contact information. I'll look him up online, see maybe I'll get you some contact information for him.
Okay.
All right, next one comes from Megan Bradley, Springfield, Missouri. Dear Dan Quinn, you mentioned before that you were once shrouded in a golden halo. Is this literally what happened? Was it bright light from the heavens that you want us to believe enveloped you? You do know that there is no such thing, don't you? Now, if you want to claim that this is all imaginary, then I'm still on board. I respect what you've done on the football field, but there's simply no physical mechanism for you to be surrounded in the cloud of golden light of an unknown origin. So if you want me to take you seriously on this, please give us full details on where why, and what happened, and who you suspect was behind it, how it supposedly changed your outlook on life, and so forth. I'm very, very skeptical. I have no reason not to believe your other stories, but this one is suspicious to me.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was 8 years old, Bob, I was woken up in the middle of the night by a kerthunk, and I looked through the doorway, and I saw three aliens making a beeline exit. We had a storm window, two storm windows above our fireplace at the time, and I swear to God, you know, at 8 years old, I'm not drinking, I'm not stoned, I'm 100%, you know, in my mind, even if I was stoned, I saw aliens when I was 8 years old, and they were leaving my mom's room. They were making a beeline as if they were leaving from her room, and that was about the time that my mom stopped acting like a mom and defending me. And so, you know, am I blaming it on aliens? No, but I know that I was enveloped in the golden halo that brought me to my knees, and I saw a vision that I was going to be the richest man on the planet, and with that money I was to end slavery. You know, and I think I said before that if you don't own your home and you're paying rent, you're a slave. So what, 99% of the country is born into slavery. They don't realize it. And for her to take me seriously, experience the violin, that's miracle number one. Miracle number two is stevia. And two miracles say that my vision was true.
So do you consider this a metaphorical self-discovery experience or a literal one?
A literal one. I didn't come to it of my own volition. I was brought to my knees by an orb of golden energy, and it gave me a vision that I was going to be the richest man on the planet. It didn't tell me how I was going to become that. It took me putting stevia into a blender and the pot blowing off the blender and this white soup going over everything, and I was like, what the fuck, in my mind? And I saw that white soup turn into water, and I was like, oh my God, I found it. I knew immediately that I figured out how to turn water into gas, and this exhaust I would come out to find later could be turned into a fountain of youth by removing all that soap. So it was not figuratively, it was literally.
All right, we have another one here. Dan, let me keep it short and simple, my man. On the last show, you said you think you could do rap music. I sincerely hope you can, but you have to understand, we are serious artists. Have you ever rapped? Have you ever perfected the craft of rapping? Please give us a short sample of your rap ability. I always supported you and would literally pay for any music you performed or produced simply because I believe in you. Please rap a little for us. That comes from Quincy Rogers of Toronto. So,
well, you know what, Quincy? Asking me to do that, you know, ad hoc, on the spot right now is a little much. It takes time to craft the lyrics. And I don't know if I would have the ability, because it does take talent, but I know that I have the ability to write the lyrics, and I know that with enough weed, anything is possible. And so when I get out, I'm going to put that to the test, and we'll have a little run-through and see how it goes.
That's awesome. So maybe in the future we could hear you rap on the show sometime?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Awesome. All right, Dan, my aunt got locked up in a loony bin here in Miami, and they kept making her think she was about to get out. She ended up spending 21 years in there. I hope they aren't playing the same bullshit with you. That's a long time. You'd be like 70 or something when you get out. I know that stevia has been shown to extend lifespan, but I would want to be on the outside where I belong if I were you. So why are you even in there? I don't know, man. It sounds like they're playing that long game with you, too. They get money from the government for locking people up, subsidies and shit like that. I wonder how much they're making off of you, keeping you medicated in more metaphorical shackles. You should start thinking about your life back on the outside. I don't just mean, you know, burning Ernie the Barber's to death while he sleeps in your former car, now his. Take care, man. Vincent Turner, Tacoma, Washington.
That's funny. No, they're not streaming along. My conservator might be streaming along. I'm like Britney Spears. I have a conservator. And the only reason why I have a conservator is my mom wanted to become mine back in the day, years ago. And I figured she'd be my de facto attorney, you know, taking care of, or not attorney, but like my secretary, taking care of the little things. That's where I let her become my conservator. And then she opted out, and I have a new one. And the reason why I'm in here is at my former residence that I was staying, I was given something that burned my stomach, and then I got constipated, horribly constipated, and the food actually started backing up in my system. And so I thought that I was broken, and I couldn't eat anymore, and I got down to 160 pounds. That's why they put me in the loony bin. But now, well, I got to 262. I went from 160 to 262 in 4.5 months in the hospital, and I'm down to 240 taking stevia. And the reason I am in the loony bin, because I got down to 160 and wasn't eating.
Yeah. And surely, you know, this cannot be justified on moral or medical grounds, your time spent there. But now, because of COVID and everything like that, it just complicates it.
Makes it tough to find a place to stay. You know, that's the only hurdle that I'm facing right now, is I'm finding a place to place me into the community. And another thing that didn't help things was I called my conservator a cunt during one conversation, and so she hasn't been trying to – she's not on my side anymore, as if she ever was, but that didn't help things. I should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah, I see. All right, this one is directed at both of us. Dan and Bob, you two are like companions, believe it or not, like my companions, believe it or not. I eagerly await for a new Carson's Corner drop each week. When Dan is on there, it's the best. Dan has talent made for a bigger stage, like a TV show. Bob is a radio icon. I wish Bob could update us on Eddie Goldman. Okay, Dan, please update us on your mom. How is she doing? Also, how is Shadarach doing? Also, are you still in touch with Riley Prysock? That shocked me last week when you said that he was going to put you in a porno with a couple other guys and a girl. Is he producing porn now? That type of porn is really something like a niche audience. Make sure you get paid up front. Insist on all-around testing for everybody. Take it from someone who has found out the hard way. Best wishes to you both. Kevin Wilson, Los Angeles.
No, Riley's not putting me into porn. Riley's going to videotape the violin, an apology to women. That's not a porn. I'm going to have my clothes on. I'm going to show the world how easy it is to take women to 1 to 2 orgasms a minute, 1 to 2 plus orgasms a minute. You can do it even more than that, but it wears them out. And so Riley's not a porn director. He's just a friend that has a platform at 5150 that's already established. And so I figured that Riley videotaping it and putting it up on 5150 and then maybe doing Pornhub might not be a bad way to go.
Yeah, and just from my end, Eddie Goldman is doing good. He just had a birthday. He got over COVID. He looks great. Eddie is the man and the original MMA opinion leader. But Dan, what about the characters from your life? How is your mom doing, as Kevin Wilson asked?
She's doing good. She's hibernating, you know, because of COVID, taking walks every day, trying to stay away from people as much as possible. She got vaccinated, and, you know, she's my mom. What can I say?
Well, Dan, we have, you know, we scheduled the show for as much time as we need, and maybe we'll talk about some political issues as we wrap it up. So I included some more listener emails here because we have more than an hour if we need it to address all this. And that officially was our last listener email for the week. So it's been absolutely great addressing all those interviews or those emails and whatnot.
Let me put a quick shout out to anybody that's listening and wants to make an investment that'll pay 100%, a dollar for a dollar, or $2 for every $1 invested. I need money to get the Stevie movement going and to get Pure H Tool famous and to get a patent. And so my new cash tag at Cash App is the $MongoQuinn4155, and PayPal is PayPalMe@DanMongoQuinn. So anybody that wants to make $2 for every dollar they invest, go ahead and shoot me some money, and when I'm rich, I'm paying you back.
Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to find at least three or four more emails, and these are pretty good topics here before we wrap it up. Dear Dan, Ross Clifton was a larger-than-life hero to me. A man that size does not come around very often. A man as mentally and physically gifted as Ross is truly one of the million. Can you share any stories with me that I might not know about Ross that really explain who he was as a person? Regan Fitzsimmons, San Francisco, California.
There's really nothing that I can say that he hasn't touched on. Ross being larger than life. Ross was one of my best friends. I still feel sick to this day that we lost him. You know, I had actually made 5 gallons of pure H2O to give to Ross. He was sitting on the floor waiting for me to take it over to his house. And the next thing I know, I'm getting called by Cal Worsham, who's now dead too, that Ross had passed away. And so there's nothing that I can really say. Ross and I didn't do anything criminal, you know, or anything like that. We were just really good friends.
Yeah, I remember Ross. I remember I had him on my show too, as well. And she fought the legendary Ken Shamrock. That was something really, really special. Here comes one.
He rocked Ken Shamrock in that fight.
Yeah, and then, you know, look, I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I told you about this, Dan, but there was a couple, one person in particular that claimed that fight was a work. And that Shamrock was going to be defeating Ross via armbar. I don't know, but I know that there was rumors out there about that fight. So go figure, you know. Now this one comes from Jim. Yeah, no, I know. I know. I agree. I saw it. It's probably still up there on YouTube for anybody who wants to see it. I'm an attorney and an elite grappler. I stand 5'4" and weigh 125 pounds. Due to the fact that I'm so smart, as a elite grappler, it is my opinion that I can kick your ass in a cage fight. I respect you and I respect what you've done athletically, but I think my grappling could overcome any size disadvantage. I say that with the great respect and mentality of a true warrior. Would you do me the honor of participating in a cage fight against me? I'm very wealthy and will pay you $5,000. Wow. I'm very wealthy. That's a sign of wealth, Dan.
Yeah, I would do that for $5,000. And he would see that I'm an absolute beast. Jamie Hara, who's a black belt and isn't a boy, this gentleman says he's 125 pounds. Jamie Hara couldn't fuck with me on the ground. Jamie Hara is better than me on the ground. And he couldn't do anything with me on the ground. I'm too strong. I'm a beast. You know, Rick Fardell couldn't do anything with me on the ground. Herb Dean had to stop that fight. I think Herb Dean stopped that fight because Dana White told him not to let me get back up and win like I did the first time I fought Rick. That was my game plan, was to let Rick wear himself out punching and then stand up and knock him out. But, yeah, I take that fight. And I won't even train for that fight. I'll take it. He'll pay me $5,000. Win or lose, I get $5,000. Is that right?
That's from my understanding.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Jim. And, Jim, just for the record, too, I would accept that challenge as well, man, you know. I mean, you would have a definite easier match against me than you would Dan. That's for sure. So,
yeah, I'm too big for 125 pounder to fuck with, especially on the ground. You know, punching, I'm too big, but he wouldn't be able to do a thing. He couldn't armbar me. Frank Mir couldn't armbar me. You know, Frank tried to get two armbars on me, and I bust out of both of them and reversed, got on top. Thought I was actually going to do something, and he sank a triangle. You know, a 125-pounder isn't sinking a triangle on him.
Good point, yep. All right, this one is about me and you as well. Dear Dan, I'm worried about Bob. I know that he's probably reading this question to you, and I always know that he respects you. I'm worried because I see the pictures he posts, and he's lost so much weight so quickly that I think he needs to focus on his overall health now. Specifically, I think he needs to start incorporating stevia therapy in his life. Will you address this on air with Bob and sort it out? One, if he needs stevia, and two, if so, how much stevia should he be ingesting on a daily basis? Wallace Crispy. Thank you, Wallace.
I think that we've covered this before. I think you should get back on stevia. We're not back on it. Get on it. So
yeah.
There is no getting back on it. You know, you're taking, what was that medication you told me about?
Contrave.
Yeah. Okay. You're taking that. And medication, by definition, isn't really healthy for you. It's mostly made out of toxic chemicals that do different stuff to your body. And it might be helping you in the short term, but it's not going to be doing any favors in the long term. And you say it's giving you energy too, right?
Not really, no. I'm kind of feeling depleted on it, to be honest with you, Dan. Like, I always have to take a nap around 4 or 5 o'clock, and I never can sleep. So it hasn't really affected – it's just affected my thoughts and affected my mindset a little bit, but not giving me energy, no.
Okay. Because stevia definitely gives you energy. That was one of the things that I had to combat when I first started taking stevia. I had to take sleeping pills to get to sleep, you know. But I figured that I knew that stevia was purifying me, so I figured that any negative effects from the sleeping pills would be purified by the stevia, so it would be a wash either way you look at it. But, yeah, to this question, I think that Bob would definitely benefit off stevia, and he should get his ass on it. He used to be fat-ass. You can't say that anymore, brother. Tip of the cap.
Listen, Dan, this is actually a perfect time for this question because I've really kind of reached my weight loss goal. I mean, give or take 5-10 pounds, but I'm in very good shape. I have a lot of muscle now everywhere. You know, a fairly decent body fat percentage, and I work out. I do jiu-jitsu. I do a lot of stuff. So now's the perfect time for me to get on stevia. I have a real regimented program exactly like what I was doing and see the effects. And I can chronicle the effects and motivate people and make new gains. I'm all about gains, man, making new gains. I can kick higher now. I can kick to people's heads. You know, I'm doing well with the brain, everything. So. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I'm starting to work on my kickboxing. I mean, I have no hands whatsoever. However, I do have grappling, so... I'm pretty decent on the ground, so I'm, you know, I think stevia would help me in my overall journey. So I think I have to get on it. And seriously, I want to talk with you off air at some point to where we could every day you could tell me exactly what I do, exactly how to prepare it, and whatnot, and then I go from there. I think it'll be a good thing. So
deal. And here's the FYI for you and for everybody listening: the way I gave Scott Smith hands wasn't going out there and sparring with them. You know how when people go into a gym and they try to teach hands, how everybody goes into a ring and they start sparring? the easiest way to get hands is to defend punches. Have somebody start throwing a jab at you. You know, get used to defending. Sorry, I'm going to be here for a little bit talking. To have somebody start throwing jabs at you. No, I was talking to my roommate. And have people start throwing jabs at you. Learn how to defend the jab. And start with the 1-2s. You know, defending the 1-2. And then have them start opening up on you. And all you're doing, you're not throwing punches. All you're doing is defending punches. And you get so comfortable and so good at it that when you go in and spar, you're not freaking out on the punches coming at you. That's how I trained Scott Smith. And within 8 weeks, he became Scott Hands of Steel Smith.
You know, Dan, I would love to... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, without me, there is no Scott Hands of Steel Smith. He's a myth without me putting my work in, you know. And Scott turned his back on me, and I haven't talked to Scott for years.
Yeah, I wonder what he's doing. I mean, I couldn't tell you the first thing about what he's doing. But I'd like to see, like to get some update on him.
Yeah.
And I also, too, Dan, I did some sparring last night. I also, if at all possible, it would be great. It would be an honor to learn from you how to develop hands and how to, avoid punches and deal with punches and everything like that, you know. So maybe that's something. I'm actually coming to California in April, early April. I'm pretty sure there's a Pancras event that I'm going to be attending in Riverside. But maybe in sometime in the future when you get out, I can learn and we could do some stuff. That'd be great.
It'd be an honor to shoot your hands, brother.
Thank you, man.
You know, that'd be something that the gentleman that has $5,000 for a fight for flying me out to New Jersey so I can give you hands, you know. We could look at that. Maybe some way you could write that off on his taxes. The rich dude all the time, one on him.
Yeah. When was the last time you actually did any type of sparring or boxing, Dan?
Years.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
It's been a long time, you know.
Yeah.
But I've been. Are you familiar with the Mighty Mouse and the UFL?
No.
No, he's on YouTube, and I'm trying to get Mouse to listen to Stevia because he's cutting down to 160. He's gonna fight, and he spars and spars and spars and spars, and I would like to get back into it just to get back into shape. You know, not getting in shape to spar, but sparring to get in shape.
Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense, man. And I'm sure you still got it. You never lose it. You've always been a spectacular athlete. So the fact that you have been sparred for years, I don't think would make really that much of a difference. It's just my personal take.
First day, ring rust. After that, it comes back, you know. And I'm comfortable with it, so it wouldn't be a problem.
Okay, we have another one here. I, too, am a poet. It has been said that life for me is an expression of Monet painting. Light, joyous, new, fresh. To create is to live, and to live is to create. While others entangle themselves in the masters of men, I dwell deeply on man. I sense that you and I connect on a level that is simply unavailable to the average person, the typical low-life scum on the earth, people who pollute this planet. If your sentence is ever commuted and you were able to take a leave of absence out of that sanitarium, you'd have an open invite to come live with me. I live on a sprawling 3,000 acres in the state of New York, roughly 200 miles north and west of New York City. It's beautiful. And it fuels my creative juices, Dan. Perhaps it could fuel yours. If you're interested, please say so, and I will follow up with a more explicit and detailed email. If you're not, then know that we are forever linked in a higher realm. That's Sandberg Trident, or Sinberg Trident.
How do you spell it?
S-I-N-B-A-R-G and Trident, T-R-I-D-E-N-D-T, like the gum.
Sendar Trident, I'm definitely interested. You know, I feel like the Bachelor in a way. We haven't gotten into this, but I'm getting inundated with emails and texts from women. I put on YouTube and video that I've discovered the fountain of orgasm for women. And wouldn't you know, I'm getting inundated with texts and emails. And there are several women from New York that I'm interested in. New York is right next to New Jersey. That'd be a easy access to you, Bob, and giving you hands. So, yes, I'm definitely interested, especially since marijuana has become decriminalized in New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, New Jersey is a very expensive state to live in, Dan. It's one of the most expensive. It's probably, but then again, California is just like New Jersey. It's probably just as expensive as is to live on New Jersey. So, but you know, we may be able to work something out. I don't know, but Sinbarg Trident. That's a very unusual name. So I'm questioning whether this person is if this is authentic or not. You know, if we rearrange the letters, it probably spells something sinister like Dracula or something. I don't know. But, yeah.
So Dracula's better than fucking the neck, you know.
Well, you know, listen, you've dealt with your admirers who are wealthy in the past, so I wouldn't be surprised if this was a real person as well.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. But there are rich people out there that do have the affluence to afford something like that. And I used to rub elbows with them when I was at Notre Dame. And I'm looking for somebody like that can fund the stevia movement. And when I say stevia movement, funding me finding a cancer victim that I can cure pure H2O on a national stage, you know, like setting it up. So it's like I'm drawing a blank now, but... So it's not just happening ad hoc, it's happening online as we speak, you know. And somebody out there is eventually going to fund Dan Quinn. I can feel it.
Dan, yeah, well, you've dealt with your crazed admirers, as I mentioned. Is that something you had to deal with as a student-athlete, Dan?
No, I just had to deal with... Nah, I didn't even want to get it. Most of the people that I met at Notre Dame were really cool, you know. As a student-athlete, there was always the haters, you know, that would talk shit. Like I was talking with Brandy Wells one time. He was a brother that played defensive back, and he said that one day he was reading his mail, and he heard these kids in a room going, nigger this and nigger that, right? And Brandy just turned around and popped in the doorway, and they glance even wider than they were. And I was like, what's up, fellas? But there's always haters out there. Always got to deal with them. And people have said the more famous you get, the more haters you get.
Now, Dan, my producer literally just sent me an email. He's got some listener emails for people, like, literally in real time, so it's pretty cool, right during the broadcast. And I don't have names to attach to most of them, but... we'll appreciate your answers regardless. Bob, I'm listening right now, and you are hyped and reading and speaking so fast. I need Dan to tell us about those loud-ass lunatics in the background. Put one of them on. You don't have to, but that's Jody.
I'll tell you what, there's no lunatics in here. There's people that have been down in their luck. You know, some need meds, some don't. Every one of them is really cool. I made some friends in here that if I was rich, I would keep in contact with them and help with their lives.
And yeah, and another one.
I could have been in my room.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I could have been in my room the entire time, but I was choosing. Is there a word called choosing? I don't think so.
No.
I was choosing to be out here in the midst of it all, instead of in my room in the dark. So, apologies to Jody if he was offended.
Well, yeah, and then another guy. Who are those loud effers in the background? Rude. Tell them to shut up. just like when Dan controlled that cell block in the Placer County Jail.
I did.
We have another one. Dan, recently we heard a lot about the non-fungible tokens or NFTs. Are you familiar with this concept?
With non-fungible tokens? What are you talking
yeah.
about?
NFTs? I don't know. I have no idea what that means.
The only thing,
but we'll skip
token,
that.
Well, I know that I'm playing the Pacific or Publishers Clearinghouse. They have a an application on my phone. I play it every night, and I know that every night I get fucked out of tokens that will help me win the $200,000 or an RV because of a computer glitch in our system. I was looking for I'm always looking for an attorney. Because there's always saying, if I was an attorney, you know how many people I would sue and win? It'd be amazing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking for an attorney to sue Publishers Clearinghouse for their glitch, regularly robbing me of tokens. And if it robs me of tokens, it robs me of opportunity to win at the game. And so I think they should give me the prize because it's robbed me so many times. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you probably would have a case, just like you would have a case, a legit case against TMZ for that hatchet job they did against you years ago.
There you go. You know, my mom's an attorney, but she's not that kind of attorney. You know, I used to blame things to my mom for her not, you know, defending me, you know, with her legal status. But she's not that kind of attorney. But, yeah, TMZ broadcasting my picture around the globe, saying it was me, threatening Dana White when it was, I mean, you could tell it was an Irish or an English accent, you know. Typical.
Dan, is it possible to train for multiple attacker scenario like the one you dealt with at Juanita's, or is that just something which comes down to luck and genetics?
That's luck and genetics. You know, I mean, you can try to train it to be like Bruce Lee, you know. Yeah, I just happened to be, it was a perfect scenario, brother. I'll tell you what, you know, me getting pushed up against the counter and looking over my shoulder, and there was a guy behind me, and I looked to my right, there was one guy, I looked to my left, there was two, and I didn't even think about it. Bam! I hit him with my elbow, and after that, it was like shooting ducks in a barrel because they were shocked that the friend was knocked out. You know, it's nothing you can train for. It happens on the spot, and you either roll with it and overcome it, or you get fucked up.
Okay, we have another one here. A bunch, actually, have just come through. Really happy about that. Dan, who is the most intelligent MMA fighter other than yourself?
The most intelligent MMA fighter, I would have to say probably, well, I was going to say James Fancher because he's a teacher, but then it comes down to he was a PE teacher. It's hard to say. You know, I don't really follow MMA all that much. I don't know a lot of the personalities, you know, who's smart and who's not. Being smart doesn't mean you're well-spoken. There's a lot of people out there that are really intelligent, but they don't have a flow with words. So, who would you say, Bob, in your opinion? Who's intelligent?
I think Dominic Cruz is a smart guy. A lot of people don't like him, but I think he's an intelligent fighter and person.
Yeah, I've heard the name. I don't even know what weight class he fights. Is he UFC?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. Now, ask my sons who Dominic Cruz is, and he would know. One of them. My oldest son doesn't care about UFC. Well, he watches it with his friends, but he doesn't really care. He's not into the fight game. But my youngest son, well, I'll say it. Kyle's my oldest son, and Ryan is my youngest son. And Ryan has hands, and given the right opportunity, I'll tell you what, and I'm saying this, and this is no bullshit, I would put Ryan in against Conor McGregor right now, you know, take one. I would put Ryan in against Conor McGregor because I told Ryan had to fight a lefty. And, you know, the only reason I think Conor McGregor was so successful is because he's a lefty and no one knows how to fight him.
Dan, what do you miss most about your freedom?
Smoking weed, hanging with my sons, and having the ability to get stevia and pure H2O famous.
Yeah, those are good answers, and I could see that. I could see that it's definitely being something that somebody would miss for sure. Dan, are you worried that they may secretly try to lobotomize you like they did in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
No, not one bit. I've been clear to go for over 3 months. They just there's been a misfire between the people that run the show here and my conservator. My conservator wanted me to go to another locked facility, and the people that run this place were like, he doesn't need to go to another locked facility. You know, that's one of the repercussions of calling your conservator a cunt. You know, she wanted to lock me up again. But
and that was my next question, Dan. What's the deal with this evil conservator lady who keeps just sticking it to you? How do we deal with this problem?
How do we deal with it? I just keep my mouth shut, roll with the flow. There's nothing I can do, you know. I could put her name out there, Gina Holden, Sacramento Conservatives. I know her telephone number. I'm not going to put that on there because it might be illegal. I don't know. But like I said, I called her a cunt. She took it to heart. She's been my enemy. And I've already talked with a public defender about going to court and petitioning to be released from the conservatorship. So that's in the works. And they're having they're going to do a hearing to get me placed, but because Gina said they were looking for a place to stay, it was kind of like six of one, half dozen of the other. So there's really no reason for them to do that. You know, she could be just stringing me along and not looking for a place, so, you know. So it's hard
to tell. Her last name it's Holder or Holden?
Holden. Gina Holden.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is like, is it, I don't know anything about it, but is this a power thing on her part, an abuse of power, or, you know, what do you think is the root of all this?
I think it's a power issue. And I think, again, me calling her a cunt didn't help. You know, she got her wires crossed thinking I was a lot worse off than I really am. I don't need to be under conservatorship. You know, she thought she was being handed this damaged individual. When in fact, you know, the reason why I agreed to be on conservatorship in the first place, because it put my mom in a position of being my secretary and doing all the small things that I didn't want to fucking spend time with, you know? So that was a mistake to begin with. I should have kept it under my own power from the beginning.
I see. Let's see here. Let's see if we've got any more questions here. What do you think of Biden's administration so far, Dan? Have you been following politics, really?
Yeah, I've been following it. I think he's fantastic. I think he's been dynamic. You know, how many executive orders in how many days? You know, he's not sitting down on the job. And if anybody has a in with Joe Biden, have him play the violin on Jill, or have Doug Imhoff play the violin on Kamala Harris, experience a miracle of that, and then know that stevia is an even bigger miracle. Stevia turning water into space to a gas, they can actually make engines to run off that. So we can transfer completely from electricity to running on forever fuel, you know, one that doesn't burn up. and is a lot more efficient than electricity.
Well, Dan, let me see if there's anything else, any more questions maybe that were sent over, you know, in the time that we've spent here on the air. Let's see. Well, I think that's it. We've really covered a lot here. It's been fun. It's really been fun catching up with you and having you on the program again. Give people at home your PayPal address again.
PayPal is PayPal.me/DanMongoQuinn, and my cash tag at Cash App is the $MongoQuinn4155. That's MongoQuinn 4155. And if you have any extra dollars that you're going to fuck off and spend, you know, donate to the cause, and when I'm rich, I pay you 2 for 1.
And also, Dan, give us that YouTube URL again, please. I'm going to subscribe to you right now.
Okay. It's for some reason, it's my entire first name is all capital letters, and my last name is spelled normally, you know, Quinn, Daniel Quinn.
Okay. Oh, it's not coming up now. The Quinn, is that a capital Q or?
Yeah, capital Q U I N N, small U, small I, small N, small N.
Wow, that's not coming up. Daniel. All right, so your whole first name is capitalized, and then Quinn, Q is capitalized, U-I-N-N.
Yeah.
Is that right? That's not coming up for me. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe they took it down, these bastards.
No, it's still up.
No, it's still up.
Because I was just watching videos off it before I got on with you.
Okay. All right, I'm searching for it now. All right. Well, listen, Dan, I think I may have found it here. Let's see. I don't know. Thank you very much for coming on the program again and answering these listener emails. I had fun. It was a good time. We got a lot answered, and a lot of people out there are going to continue to support you on your journey. And I hope to talk to you soon. I hope that you know, you get the situation resolved there. I know it's tough in California. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. But you know what? The tide is turning. The pendulum is swinging towards the working people in America. You know, there's been
right.
A lot of good things. You know, for every reaction, there's a reaction. It's been 40 years of give to the wealthy. Now, you know, I think things are going to get a little easier on us as we go down the road. I think there's going to be a universal basic income, housing, guaranteed housing, and a lot of other stuff that the working class needs to survive in this country. So, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah,
there is a lot at the end of the tunnel. You know, people think that socialism is communism. Socialism isn't communism. Communism was a perverted form of capitalism where a few profited from the means of production, you know, even a smaller amount of few in the Soviet Union. Socialism works in Denmark. How many countries around the world does it work? It can work in the United States. How much is enough, brother? You know what I'm saying? There's people that have so much money in their bank accounts, like the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts, that they can never spend it all if they spent $1 million a day, you know?
Yeah.
And there's people that are starving and dying in the streets. So when PureH2O starts to get up and running, my plan is to buy every company or replace it with a competitor and have profit sharing. Every company have profit sharing, so everybody takes part in the wealth. Everybody has enough, you know?
Yeah.
And another thing, you know, I don't know if you know this, but there's ancient archaeological evidence that says that women used to run shit. Women used to, that female humans used to be like female lions and run the herd, the pride. Are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah, it's out there. But pyramids that were poured, set down on Earth, you know, if you Google the ancient pyramids in Egypt, there's new evidence that suggests they were poured, P-O-U-R-E-D, like if concrete. Tell
okay.
me that there weren't spaceships and all that weird-looking alien shit. And that's the same time period that women as – do you watch WWE at all?
I used to,
with
yeah.
Roman
I know some about it. Yeah.
Okay, Roman Reigns always talks about being the head of the table. Well, females used to be the head of the table. You know, they used to run shit. And in Dan Quinn companies, it would start to turn the tide in their favor once again. Men have proven that they have too much testosterone. There's too much battling going on. There isn't enough reconciliation, reciprocation, you know, negotiation with men. It's either fuck or fight, and I'm sick of it.
Well said, Dan. I seriously, man, you're speaking truth to power right there. And, you know, I think our economy is very complicated. We're not a one-size-fit-all economy. But what I do know is that what we've seen with this, you know, making rich people richer doesn't stimulate the economy. You know, I just got my second stimulus check, or actually my third stimulus check, and I already spent that. I can't save money because we need to spend money. You know, we're a global economy now, so. You know, giving incentives and tax cuts and everything to the wealthy to keep up with their declining rate of profit is not a recipe for economic growth. And like I said, the tide is turning, and the powers that be are starting to realize that income inequality. I've said this for years, trumps all. And pardon the pun there, but it's absolutely true. So may we have interesting times ahead for sure.
We do. You know, the economy is like a garden. You have to water it with money. And if you don't water it, if you put all the money in a bank account, it dries up and there's no fruition.
Well said. We'll leave it right there. Dan, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. I hope you have a good weekend. And let's talk again real soon, my friend.
Okay, Bob. Thank you very much for having me, Studs. I appreciate it.
Actually, hold on. Dan, we got a caller. You want to take this caller?
Sure.
Okay, it's from 817 area code. Just give us your name and town and question for Dan, please.
Yep, I'm Daryl in Dallas, and Dan, does this 5'4", 125-pound horse jockey think he's going to be able to take you to the ground?
Good question, brother. I'll tell you what, if he's seen my fights, yeah, he's not going to be able to do a thing with me. Even if he did take
he's going
to
be able
ground,
to pay you $5,000.
Yeah, it's an easy $5,000.
Well, good luck, my man. It's good to hear you on these shows. It's really good to hear you.
I appreciate it, and I hope everything's going well for you in Texas. I have heard all the bad stories on the news about water shortages and food shortages. I hope everything's going good for you out there, brother.
We're doing okay. We had a rough February. My house, we lost power in our house for 3 days, so that was rough. But we made it through.
Well, that's good. I love the state of Texas. I love the people of Texas. I think, you know, certain states can learn a lot from Texas in terms of their criminal justice system there. So thank you very much. God bless you from the Lone State there.
Thanks, man. Talk to y'all later.
If Texas decriminalized marijuana, I'd want to move there.
I think they're working on it. It's slow because, you know, it's Texas, but I think they're working on it.
All right, now, what was your name again, brother?
Daryl?
It's good talking to you, Daryl. God bless you.
Good talking to you, man. Good talking to both
of you.
Take care now.
Take care. All right. Texas is a beautiful state. I've driven through Texas, and it is a very, very nice state there. A lot of wind farms, a lot of alternative energy, and it's a good place to be, I think, anyway.
Good people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, listen, Dan, let me see if there's any more callers. I don't think so. I think that was it. So, again, thank you so much, Dan, and let's talk soon.
All right, Bob. You take care.
All right, goodbye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the one and only Dan Quinn here on Carson's Corner, listening or reading your listener emails and getting his reactions. That was great, man. I had a good time. That hour and 15 minutes really, really flew by. We got UFC 260 this weekend, Stipe versus Francis. I don't want to bloviate on that. I'm just tired. I got to go to sleep. I got to wake up early tomorrow. I want to tell you, if you want to friend me on Facebook, you can. Bob Carson MMA, facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. Follow me on Twitter as well. Same handle there, Instagram or twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. Also Instagram, same thing, instagram.com/BobCarsonMMA. Thank you very much to Daryl in Texas. Thank you very much to Dan Quinn. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.